His word is a living word, and we're going to take a look at several verses in Ezekiel and then read one in the book of Colossians. Love you all. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that's happening. I believe that God is trying to give us a multifaceted harvest. Not just a harvest, you know, like regular, average, vanilla harvest, but a multi-level, multifaceted. You know, God has many facets. By the way, thank you, Sister Megan, so much for helping us. She has many giftings, but one of them is photography. And how do we feel about our Bible school kids? And so she is in her element today. And you're going to enjoy working with her. And we appreciate that so much. Ezekiel chapter 13, if you would. If we haven't met you before service, please hang around and let me shake your hand. I get high on Jesus and I get high on people. And so we're so delighted you're here. Let's give them a chance to understand this. How do we feel about guests at Faith Worship Center? To give you all a second shot at it. That's what Michigan needs today, a second shot at it. Okay. Ezekiel, I'm sorry, Jesus loves Michigan fans too. Amen. Yes, he does. Maybe a little less. No, I'm teasing. Oh my, Ezekiel 13, verse 10. Forgive me, God, for being so carnal. Verse 10. I heard Esther laugh. Esther's back. Sister Esther's back. She's Sister Joy around here. She's a blessing. Verse 10, because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, it's referring to the false prophets, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Verse 11, say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar. And you're going to notice he keys on that two words, that expression a number of times in these verses. Actually, it's the only place in your King James Bible where it's rendered like this. Okay? In the book of Ezekiel, in other words. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Little P.S. here. This isn't scripture. This is me. I've got it in blue letters here. To everyone, a storm will come. All of us. A storm or storms will come to all of us. And they reveal what our life, what our wall is made out of. Verse 12, lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Verse 13, therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it. Here it is, the testing of what we're made out of, what we've made our life out of. I will rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. Verse 14, so will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered and it shall fall. And ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 15, thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall. There's something about that wall made with untempered mortar that so offended his heart. So he says, thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it, here it is again, with untempered mortar. and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. And then he gives us sort of like, again, a peek at who he was upset at. Verse 16, to wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. I don't know about you, but when I see something in the scriptures, then I don't get it. It's like a little whistle goes off, or a little buzzer, or a little alarm bell, like, look up, untempered mortar. Like, if you can figure that out, boy, you might actually understand this chapter. So I looked it up. And that's what I'm going to share with you. And I want to preach to you for a few minutes on what is untempered mortar. But before we go to prayer for just a moment here, I want to show you a scripture in case I don't have time to do this later, because I get sort of fired up, you know. I get sort of, you know. Ah, yeah. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 17. I love this. And he, and that's a reference to Jesus the Christ, all right, if you read this context, but we'll save you some of that time. And he is before all things. He is. You know, as we go into, for some of us, great trepidation, and with some of us, great exuberance, the greatest shopping season of the year, I want you to hear this. And he is before all things. So it has special significance today. Comma. So, and he is before all things, comma. And by him, all things consist. Now, don't let that word consist throw you. It actually means cohere. And to show you how real this is, and thank you, Sister Gwen, for helping me with these guys work their labors of love. They're not ballyhooed, but these folks in the media, the sound people, different ones. If I could list them today, we'd take several probably minutes just to recognize everybody. Listen to Colossians 1:17, if you would, from the Amplified. And he himself existed and is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Remember I said consist means cohere, hold together. He is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I'm going to ask Brother Sandy to lead us in prayer, but I want to ask you, what is untempered mortar?
Lord, we thank you for your word today. God, I pray, God, open our hearts, God, our minds to receive your word. God, let us not only be hearers of the word, but doers, oh God, I pray today. God, I pray that you'd anoint our pastor, God, as he preaches your word. God, I pray, God, let us receive it with gladness here today, and we'll give you all the glory and honor today. In Jesus' name, God, we ask you today.
Would you give the Lord a hand praise unto the Lord real quick? A hand praise. God, you may be seated. Of course, we have sort of a little bit of a handle on the word mortar, a little bit of a handle on it, that building material. I think we might even have some builders present. But it could be a mixture of a number of ingredients, cement, lime, gypsum, even plaster, sand, water. But when it hardens, it's used in masonry to build structures, and just like here in these verses, a wall or walls of protection. But there was something about the mortar that troubled the Lord. There was something evidently missing, and there was a cheaper mortar that you could You could mix up that when you applied it to the stones, whether you were building a house or a wall or whatever, it looked good. But God said, I'm going to send the storm. I'm going to send wind. I'm going to send hailstones. I'm going to let you, what's the spiritual peril? I'm going to let you go through some things to test your foundation. I'm going to let you experience some heartaches. I'm going to let you go through some fire, through some fire and storm, and walk through the rivers and the waters and the floods. And in doing so, I'm going to reveal to you the nature of what you've built. Is your life on a rock or is it built on the sand? Do you have the ingredients necessary to build a protective defense against the world, against demonic influence? Understand what I'm saying? So I kept reading these. I know that phrase, untempered mortar, when I hear it and when I read it, it troubles me because somehow I couldn't figure out what he was referring to. But he kept coming back to the prophets. And this is what he was saying. You tell them peace. And you see, they were getting ready for captivity. They were getting ready to come under the disciplines of God. They were going to come under the disciplines of God as a nation. But the prophets were saying, oh man, it's a great time. You know, optimist and positive, and there's nothing, and I think I'm the greatest or the biggest, most, optimistic dude in the room. I just believe that every time my shoes wear out, I'm going to be back on my feet any day. Oh, praise God. I'm always looking for the positive. I can't stand to be around nitpickers. I see promises coming to pass. I believe there is a touch of God on our congregation that we didn't get here by accident, but we're here by the mercy of God and the grace of God. And God wants to build in us a strength, a sincerity, something resilient that when the wind comes. And ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could tell you that when you become a Christian, you become inoculated against trouble, but that is a fallacy. It doesn't mean when you become a born-again believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name that you will have no problems. As a matter of fact, there are days, you've probably noticed this, when problems seem to have escalated. I tell that old story about the homeowner that lived way out, I guess, out just a little bit outside of town. And so he had a water pump. I don't know. I remember Uncle Vernon having a water pump. And so it was not a large one, and he wanted more water pressure. And so he went and bought a larger water pump and installed it. When he turned it on, he was shocked by what happened. He was expecting the water just to come out of this pure flow, you know, the hoses and the water sprinklers, and all of a sudden every leak that was in his system was revealed because the power quotient went up. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. When you get the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden you've come into a power quotient, and every leak, every falsehood, every insincerity comes under the discipline of God. He will not put up with it. He will not allow us to build with untempered mortar. Raise your hands and let's love God a little bit. Woo! Hallelujah. I worship you, Lord. So I had that question, and I thought I'd give it to you. Because I kept reading it, and boy, you talk about that used several times in one little text. I have something against you, oh prophets, because you built the wall, that protective wall that's supposed to protect the nation and protect my people, but you built it with untempered mortar. And I came to a conclusion after studying this, that the mortar he was referring to lacked a chief ingredient. Wow. Do you know they sometimes they'd throw in some wool. Some wool. W-O-O-L. They'd throw in, this is mind-blowing, they'd throw in some hair. Now listen, Pentecostals, One God Apostolics, when you talk about hair, we're in, that's our wheelhouse. Come on now, these gorgeous women with that beautiful uncut hair, this is our wheelhouse. They would take hair and throw it into the mortar to give it more tenacity. But I found that when I studied this, here's what God was saying. There's a mortar that's not a mortar. There's a mortar that doesn't really make anything hold together. Nothing in it pulls everything together. And when you study what he was saying is, you told my people a bunch of lies. If you had told them truth, it would have been like mortar that holds their lives together. But because you didn't preach truth, it was untempered mortar, which doesn't hold anything together. Lift your hands up. Let's worship the Lord. Woo, he's good. Oh my. Let our pulpits be unfettered. Let there always be voices in our lives that we can't buy off, that we can't bribe, that talk to us every once in a while. You need a man of God who will talk into your life, who you can't buy off, who you can't bribe, who you can't tell get lost, because we're trying to build around here walls, protective walls of tempered mortar. Woo, anybody understand? Hallelujah. That's what untempered mortar was. It was presentations, teaching and preaching without truth and honesty and humility and sincerity. And so when the wind came, he says, it's coming. I've had some storms blow through my life. Have you had some storms? Anybody have a few storms? Oh my. Sister Meadows might remember this. We used to go down to the south end of Fond du Lac where we pastored for 18 years. And on a windy night, we would go walking. And it would frighten her because the wind was so strong. But you see, as it frightened her, it emboldened me. You're going to be just fine, baby. You are with me. And you're going to be just fine, honey, because I'm with you. What did Jesus say? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What did he want you to know? Whatever we go through, he said, when you walk through the fire, I will hold your hand. When you walk through the floods, I will hold your hand. But we've got to tell you the truth. We're going to go through some storms. Come on, let's love him. Woo, let's magnify him. My, we're going to go through some stuff, and it's going to be all right. They're only going to make us stronger. Hallelujah. Praise God. I heard Mike Williams say, and if you've heard him preach, he's got to be one of the most amazing preachers alive. Has a photographic memory. So do I. I just have trouble working with the negatives, developing the negatives sometimes. But amazing preacher. But I heard him say this one day. We were on the same committee for a few years. He said, you know, sometimes on Monday, quitting looks good. What was he talking about? not quitting Jesus, but you get so tired. Anybody understand what I'm saying when I say that? Some of you work two or three jobs. You have 16 kids, or maybe eight, or maybe just four or five. But this whole thing called the world is designed to wear us out. That's the strategy of the enemy. But there is a renewing. There is a renewing in God. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. There's a refreshing in the house. I wish somebody jump up and claim it right now. The refreshing of the Lord. It's mine. I want to live for you, God. I want to build, Lord, your wall of protection. I want to build defenses around my family. But when I do it, I've got to do it by telling them the truth. Woo! Hallelujah. Let this pulpit forever be unfettered. Hallelujah. I must answer to God. I've got to do his bidding. I want to bless you, but I want to please him. And we need somebody who can talk into our lives. We need voices. We need elders in our life. We need to hear the undiluted voices of elders who can help us along the way. Oh, praise God. Should I calm down just a little bit? This is what Ezekiel was saying. Somebody was not being honest with God's people. And they were building a wall, but it was a sham wall. Because when the wind hit, you remember that night we were walking along? The wind must have been doing, I don't know, 30 miles, 25, 30, 35 miles per hour. And you were so spooked by it. And I just let you know, everything's all right. Glory to God. Your honey babe is with you. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. 42 years later, we're still dating. Hallelujah. And it comes up on my phone, Brother Welch, every week. Date night. Date night. And if I miss it, she reminds me. Hallelujah. She looks forward to it because I have this little question, Brother Nev, that I love to ask her. At least she loves to hear me ask it. Is there anything we've not talked about this past week that you've been wanting to talk about? Because marriage is one half to two-thirds communication. And when you stop talking, you start dying. And so she loves me to ask that question. Is there anything we've not been able to talk about? And then she reaches into her purse and pulls out a... something about the size of the old Sears Roebuck catalog. Oh my, and I know I'm in trouble. Hallelujah. And eternity will kiss the evening. It'll be a long night. But no, usually, hallelujah, she'll say she can't think of anything. That's my greatest compliment. What are you doing? I'm building with tempered mortar. And when something comes up, I remember this one day. I don't even remember. You know, we're kind of fiery. We're kind of high strung somewhat, maybe times 10, both of us. Hallelujah. And I don't even remember what it was, but she was pretty stressed out about it. So I sat down and I let her know I'm all ears. Talk to me. What do you need? What do you want for 15 minutes? Pop, 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 pop. And I said, I got so good at that's right. And when she got done, she was so happy. I was worn out. She was happy in the Lord. There was great ministry that took place. I want to tell you what, you can have a relationship with God. You can know him, know his voice, walk with him in truth. We've got to build up some walls of protection and defense, and that happens when we preach truth, teach truth, counsel truth, exhort truth, present truth. It was truth in the mortar that holds the stones together. Woo! Yeah. storms will come. It's truth that holds relationships together. Those old prophets, they were saying, oh, peace this and find that. And oh, isn't that sweet? When they were getting ready to go into captivity for years. But they refused to tell the people the truth. You know, sometimes when people tell us the truth, we penalize them. We'd rather hear the watered down edition, the sugar coated. Oh, that so upset God. I figured it out. What is untempered mortar? It's mortar that has no clinging power, no holding power. It doesn't bind us together. The rain falls and all of a sudden the walls busting up because it looked pretty at first to the eye, but it had no cohesion. It had no strength. And God said, oh, that grieves me. The way you built that wall in the spirit, in the spiritual sense, not just physical. You didn't hold, you didn't build something, put truth out there that would hold everybody together. Ooh. Lift your hand. Let's love him just a little bit. Wonderful God. Oh, talk to me, Jesus. Talk to us, God. The storm comes. The difficulties mount up. Crises stand in line. And they're going to test what we're made out of and what we've built our lives out of. But we're not going to jump ship. We're not going to run away. We're not going to disappear. We're not going to become invisible because we're founded on a rock. Jesus saith unto him, John 14:6, I am the way. I love this. This old Bible verse. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm trying to help a certain family, and I get like, I have a heart large and full of care and love for them. But I'm sort of like bumping into fiction. I'm discerning somebody's spinning tails. And I'm discovering that things don't add up the way they're being presented. I have this old statement. I'm going to share it with you. God can save a man who's been dishonest. You like that? I like that. God can save a person who's been dishonest, but he can't save that person while he's being dishonest. There's something about truth. Ooh, that turns his motor over, that ought to turn ours over. I don't want you building some wall that'll fall apart with the first storm. I've been through some stuff. You guys have been through some stuff. I see some people going through things right now as I look across this congregation, and you're worshiping today. You didn't let the devil steal your song. You didn't let Satan steal your joy. Nobody can take your song away when you made up your mind. I'm going to live for God, come hell or high water. I'm going to serve him every day of my life, no matter what I feel. Come on, let's praise him. Let's give him praise and worship. Woo! Hallelujah. You're going to go through some things. The winds will blow. The hail will fall. The storm will come. But God will use that to reveal what we've been building our life out of. Know some things, don't we? We don't just surmise. We know some things. Well, we have some precious truths. We're not serving three gods. Oh, I must be careful. Because when I get on the caveat, I go bananas. I had a banana to eat this morning, so I have license to go bananas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This was a prophecy concerning Jesus of Nazareth. He was called the Mighty God. He was called the Everlasting Father. Woo! Come on, I wish somebody would get happy. Hallelujah. Wonderful God. My heart goes out to a friend, a precious friend, who's maybe in the battle of his life. Oh, I wish there could be a day, and maybe there shall, where I could level with them and speak into their heart just a little bit. You can't go through life blaming everybody for your perceived failures. You can't walk through life and get mad at the world and mad at God and mad at everybody else. He would like to bring us to an altar. It takes truth to build a relationship. It takes truth to walk and live for God. Otherwise, you're just building a wall that looks really pretty till the storm comes. Yeah. So we read it. Did you get it? Oh my. What's the missing ingredient? What's the missing ingredient? Truth. The prophets weren't telling them the truth. When you study the context, he was referring to the fact that truth wasn't in the mortar, so the wall wouldn't stand. And then we preach this beautiful little verse, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I don't watch this. It doesn't say, and ye shall know the truth about doctrine. Because sometimes we come up with a sugar stick, one-sided application of scriptures. And it's not all bad. It's just that you can't like imprison the word of God. The Bible says the word of God is not bound. Well, now that's a revelation. I wouldn't tie up that little pulpit because it's inanimate. I wouldn't tie up the sanctuary because it's not living. It's inanimate. You bind something that's alive. We used to do that as kids. Me and my brothers tie each other up and see who could get undone the fastest. See if I could tie Bruce up or Gary up, you know, with knots so they couldn't get out of. You bind something that's living. When he said the word of God is not bound, he was not talking about an inanimate subject. He was talking about something that lives and breathes. The word of God is a living thing. The word of God is living. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow of the bones, and is a discerner. Oh, rocks don't discern, floors don't discern, ceilings don't discern, but something that's alive can discern and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What was he talking about? The living, loving word of God that's active right now in our lives. Raise your hands and let's love him. Woo! Building defenses with truth. Building walls of protection with honesty and humility, not covering up, not playing footsies, not kind of coming up with a Hollywood or Hollyweird rendition of something. He said, that's untempered mortar. And it looks nice, but when the hailstones fall, oh yeah. I'll never forget, I got caught in that storm a few months ago. Tornado coming up from the south. And Brother Dinkins, I think we had just had our meeting. And it seems like every time we have a meeting, or often there at Meyer, a storm would come up before we're done with our meeting. I don't know if God was trying to tell us something. And we come out, our phones are going off, and people are saying, there's a storm, there's a tornado coming. And I look back toward like Mount Sterling, and the sky was dark, and the wind was blowing. And I jumped in my car, and I raced over out of the parking lot onto 665, and they'd got caught in traffic. Everybody was looking for a place to get out of the way and got caught in the middle of that. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to tell you what, a storm is coming. A storm, a prophetical storm. There's going to be things turned upside down. The banking institutions, there's going to be a lot of stuff that we put a lot of confidence in. Storms will come. But if we're built on the rock, if we're built with tempered mortar, you know what tempered glass is? It strengthens the glass. Oh, hallelujah. And tempered mortar strengthens the wall, strengthens the house, strengthens our relationship. Sincerity and honesty and transparency and truth. So when Paul, by the Holy Ghost, wrote in Colossians 1, verse 17, and he is before all things. Say that with me. He, not them. He is before all things, and by him all things consist, or in him, the Amplified says, all things hold together. He is personally the glue. He is personally the cement, the glue of the universe. And he holds all things together. And as the Amplified says, his is the controlling cohesive force of the universe. When you make him the center of your life, you hold, your life is held together in the palm of his hand with grace and strength, because he is the glue. Woo. Yeah, it's truth that holds people together. Remember the old bumper sticker? We have discovered the enemy, and he is us. You remember that one? That one comes back to haunt me. We have discovered the enemy. We like to do this, you know, point. Oh, yeah, it's somebody out there, and we need to look in the mirror. You know, you can only get out of a mirror what you put into it. It's just a thought. I'll never forget that. I got to tell you a funny story. I had this gorgeous, I think I'd shared this with my church years ago. I had this gorgeous, it's wintertime, this gorgeous multicolored sweater. Gray and black and white. I mean, it was beautiful. Sister Megan, somebody wanted to meet me. Oh, you remember Brother Hoyt? Brother Hoyt. I was going to meet Brother Hoyt at Hardee's South. Will of God. Will of God had this sweater. And I was in a real hurry, you know, and I thought, I got to brush my teeth. I got to get over to South Hardee's. Because there was West Hardee's, East Hardee's, and South Hardee's. And I counseled in all three. Because refills were free. And so I come into that Hardee's. Brother Nevin, you've been there many times, haven't you? Eating there, South Hardee's. And I'm shaking hands with people, and I'm greeting Brother Ralph, and I'm saying hi to everybody, and I'm having a good old time feeling frisky in the Holy Ghost. And I don't know if it was when I walked into the restroom or when I got home, but I looked in the mirror, and I had a big old gob of blue toothpaste. Son, I was so embarrassed. There was God's man of power and faith greeting everybody on the planet with a big old gob of blue toothpaste on my, you talk about multicolored sweater. Yeah, honey, I had a multicolored sweater. Gray, blue, black, and bright blue. I thought, what in the world is wrong with me? And sometimes that's like we are. We think, oh, it won't matter if I have some bitterness. Great big old gob. gob of something on my heart, if I have some anger issues, great big old gob of ugly on top of my personality, and we go out there and we act like it won't make any difference, but somebody who's got the Holy Ghost can discern it. Somebody who's walking in the Word and walking in the Spirit can discern it. You need to take that sweater down to the dry cleaners and let them put it under the cleaning fluid. Oh, could I tell you what the cleaning fluid is? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Anybody believe that message? Raise your hand, would you, with me? Woo! Oh, thank you for that name, that cleansing name, that saving name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men. Now you laughed real hard. You know why you laughed real hard? Because you were thinking about the time when you went out and you had something on your blouse, some of that chocolate, or you sat in it in your car. Forget about brown noses. How about brown, you know, southern kingdoms? You sat in the chocolate that... Do you want to be what I'm saying? And you thought you were a wing-dinger, man. You were wing-dinging people, and they thought you were a fudge factory walking around because you hadn't taken... Oh, the Bible says in James, the Word of God is a mirror. It's wonderful to run to an altar, to run to an altar. Thought, man, I was wing-dinging it. I had enough toothpaste on me to brush most of Southern Fond du Lac's people, their teeth. It wasn't a little dab. It was a gob. And sometimes we walk to an altar. Well, I think I'll go to an altar, you know, because it's chic today. It's cool. Everybody wants to be cool. I remember the day when you had to have a goldfish or you weren't cool in Pentecost. Every gift and every Sunday school contest, Tiffany, was a goldfish. We raised more fish ponds than those days and years. It was always a goldfish. And we go to an altar. And all of a sudden God says, have you taken a look in the mirror of my word? You got a whole gob of resentment. Yeah. You know what? Let's do this. Let's start rebuilding that wall. And let's start with truth. You need to put that under the blood. Forgive them. Let it go. Let it go. Get up. Hallelujah. Full of joy. Get up. Full of faith. Because you're not angry at people anymore. Some of us live right on the edge. One thing pushes us over. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen. If I live like that, I'd be angry every day of my life. But I've made up my mind. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God wants to break chains off of us. God wants to bring back the old-fashioned joy that we used to have when we first started living for God. When you used to run the aisles because you had no resentment. You had no bitterness. You had no anger. You were free as a bird. Woo! Lift your hands. Let's love Him as we close today in Jesus' name. Oh, te la katar the Moshe. His brother Thad comes. Oh, beautiful Savior. Wonderful God. Wouldn't it be something amazing if we could say, God, let me build on that wall. Let me work on it some more today. Let me be washed again in the blood. Let me come back to your fountain. Let me say, Lord, I am willing to judge my motives. I'm willing to judge, Lord, my intentions. I'm willing, Lord, to judge my attitudes. I'm willing to build with tempered mortar. Hallelujah. That's got truth in it and transparency in it and open face, you know, honesty in it. I want to build. Hallelujah. So, are you as good and as holy as people believe you to be? Or is there untempered mortar in your life? I got up extra early this morning because I was so unhappy with myself. I'd been so busy celebrating Thanksgiving and enjoying people that I didn't have enough time in His presence. And I'm going to tell you this, without prayer, you can't do what He's called you to do. You can't be what He's called you to be without prayer. Hallelujah. And I got up earlier. I wanted to spend time with Him. Because I can't do, I can't live like He wants me to live unless I'm a praying man. Have you ever noticed that when you're on your knees, it's really hard to fall? Oh, man. Are you as good and holy as people believe you to be? Could I do for you what those prophets failed to do for those people? God wanted them to call those people to repentance. And instead, they gave them sunshine reports. Just sunshine reports. Everything's cool. Everything's rosy. When there was a nation going to come down and take them into captivity. And God's disciplines were going to be on them for years. And God wanted the people to hear a true voice, an honest voice, a convicting voice, a man of God's voice, a prophet's voice. Oh, get close. Come run into His arms today. If you don't know Him or you want to know Him better, come run into His arms. I wish somebody could run down to this altar and lift their hands and say, Lord, count me in. I want to build an altar with tempered mortar. I want to build a wall of protection around my family with truthfulness and honesty, godliness and holiness, Lord. Give me, Lord Jesus, the ability, God, to be honest with You. Oh, Father, I worship You. People, He wants to help us, good people of God. Even now, hallelujah, as Brother Thad sings, there can be something that we lay down, that we say, hey, God, that only muddies the waters, that only dirties the river that's flowing in my life. I'm willing to lay that down by the grace of God, by the mercy of the Lord. I'm